Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, Tehran. Father God, we thank you and praise you and honor you this morning. We bless your holy name. And I really don't know if you can hear me. My computer is totally jammed this morning because I went to sleep and left it on. I left it on all night. So I don't know what's happening. I know by doing that I got hit. And the reason I got hit, I want to acknowledge you and thank you and praise you and honor you. I want to bless your name this morning. And Father God, cover me with your blood in the name of Jesus this morning. Because I have to try to explain something spiritual. And I have to try to explain something that might be complicated. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Father God, I need to explain this because people need to know this. I think if people know this, that it would take a lot of power away from the devil. And it would take a lot of power away from his ability to manipulate and deceive people. And it would take away a lot of unnecessary stress. So help me, Lord Jesus. Help me this morning. As I told you, and it's a heavy witchcraft influence over this line this morning. And somehow I knew this was going to happen. And I guess I can go back to yesterday's teaching. And I can use yesterday's teaching even more so. So yesterday, I believe we were in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Bear with me this morning. Brothers and sisters, let me start here. There are a lot of exciting things happening with this ministry right at this moment. And God has wired me, built me up, that I can accept change. I can accept change easily. And it goes even back to my father being in the military. And every 4, 6, 8 years, we would have to move. You know, the army would come in and pack up all of our stuff. And we would have to move to a new country or a new city or a new state, a new base, and we would have to meet and make new friends. So change doesn't bother me. Meeting new people and doing new things doesn't bother me either. But I find that is not the norm. And I find that the devil, pardon me, has moved in people. And maybe, brothers and sisters, I'm not talking to everybody out here this morning. And every message is not for everybody. Okay, I understand that. But this message is for some people. Because, brothers and sisters, no, I don't mean any offense. I don't mean any harm. But I'm just going to tell you the truth. Not everybody is going to prosper. Not everybody is going to be in good health, even as their soul prospers. Everybody is going to walk without fear. It's just some people, they're just not going to overcome. And it has taken me, even although I knew this a long time ago, when I set out it's always been something in me not to march. I'm not a crowd pleaser, and I'm not a person to follow the crowd. I mean, I got people still sending me other preachers' stuff, like, oh, I want to really educate you to this, Erica. And I read it. But they're not educating me. It's because they learned something new. I did the same thing when I was a brand-new baby Christian. Because they learned something new, and then they want to share what's new. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. And I'm not one of these people running around here looking for something new or looking at this person change this sentence and, oh, all of a sudden this is new, because whatever they say, I'm gonna research it in the scriptures anyway. I'm going to research it through the word anyway. So if it's in the word, and then I'm gonna talk to God. And I'm going to ask him, what in this do you want to show me? But let me tell you something. You got some people out here, And I pray you're not one of them. They are living off of, sucking off of somebody else's anointing. They won't fast. They won't pray. They won't seek God. And then the minute somebody comes up and says, oh, look at this, then they go to God and they say, I want a copy. I want it. What they're saying is, I want a copy of this. If this person is doing this, if this person got this, then I want it. And then they convince themselves in their own mind that they got it. Brothers and sisters, Satan will counterfeit anything and everything that exists. That's why I don't run around. I read lots of books, but basically I'm seeking understanding of what God is showing me in his word or what he has shown me. And with that in mind, I want to say this. When you get it that way, from copying out people, it's not yours. And it won't last. And generally, I find the people that do this are people with the wrong motivation in their heart. So what do you mean by that, Erica? I mean, you have a lot of people out here who want to play God and want to rule somebody else's life, and their life is toe up, messed up. And for the life of me, I cannot understand how anybody thinks they can run and rule somebody else's life, and their life is messed up. Now, I'm not saying your life has got to be perfect, but I'm saying this. You shouldn't even be thinking about ruling nobody else's life anyway. People who generally do that, act that way and feel that way, exert any type of domination, manipulation, control, or I should put it this way, attempted domination, attempted manipulation, and attempted control over somebody else's life is operating through a bad Jezebelic spirit. Jezebelic spirit is witchcraft. I don't care what you want to call it. The key areas in witchcraft is domination, manipulation, control, rebellion. Rebelling against God's word. And so then, the people who operate like that, always, not sometimes, always, operate under a spirit of chaos and confusion. So, domination, attempted domination, manipulation, attempted manipulation, control, attempted control, rebellion, rebelling against God's word and wanting to initiate and establish their own word, coupled with, I say, rebellion, confusion, and chaos. And you got a perfect example, brothers and sisters, of real witchcraft. You see, witchcraft is just not all about them potions and them candles and all that stuff. There's a level of witchcraft that is absolutely horrible. There are people who will get down on their knees or stand up or lay in their bed or sit in their chair and pray against the will of another person. Pray, they will pray to bring another person under subjection to their will. Well, what do you mean by that, Erica? I mean this. You got people praying. God will tell you to go left. And because they want to be your God, because they want to be your Holy Spirit, they will tell you that God wants you to turn to the right. because they're such control freaks, because they're operating under such a spirit of witchcraft, brothers and sisters. And then, let me share with you how it works. When you don't do what they say, the devil wants them to become angry because they have a whole slew of demons at their beck and call in the form of familiar spirits. And Satan will incite them to become angry with you so that he can use them to unloose those familiar spirits on you as an object of their anger. So when they unloose those familiar spirits on you, all kinds of bad stuff begins to happen to you. Are they doing it on purpose? They might as well be doing it on purpose. Because as far as they're concerned, they really don't care what's going to happen to you. Their concern is that they can have their own way. Their concern is that they can accomplish or get done what they want done. Now, a lot of times, these spirits are inherited. And people use these spirits to sway people's thinking. They use these familiar spirits to accomplish whatever it is that they are trying to accomplish on this earth realm. Brothers and sisters, let me share something with you this morning. You got to stop doing it. Sometimes people use altered personalities to do this as well. When people have been deeply traumatized and deeply wounded, they can have these altered personalities, but even altered personalities cannot go against the will of a person. So there's something in the person in agreement with the altered personalities that gives them the capability and the power to exert their will against the will of another person. But it is not their will, brothers and sisters. It is them actually unloosing familiar spirits, spirits that are yielded to this person, spirits that have integrated and co-joined so much so to the soul of that person that these spirits operate automatically. And they have triggers. You can get out, you can operate now. Triggers that say, oh, good, I want you to be angry with this person. So you can, the Bible calls them like arrows, shooting those arrows. But spiritually, they are familiar spirits. And these spirits, I talked about them yesterday, but I didn't point them out to you like I could have. So today, I think I'm going to go back to Daniel 3. And I want to show them to you. I want to show them to you. And the reason I want to show them to you, brothers and sisters, is because hindrances and a lot of people are holding God responsible when God is not responsible, it's you and your own familiar spirits. And these familiar spirits can also be operating in your husband, in your wife, in your children. They would have the ability to have really and truly more power over them than you do, because they would be, second generation, third generation. And this is why you have some parents that hate their children, some children that hate their parents, when the hatred, and some brothers and sisters that hate each other. The hatred is not biological hatred. It is opposing. It is spirits in them that are opposing the same familiar spirits inherited through the gene pool or the spiritual DNA that see each other, that actually hate each other. You want an example? Okay. Think about your mother. Everybody on here, think about your mother or your father or your grandfather or grandmother. Think about whoever raised you. If it was a big brother or a big sister, think about them. Whoever raised you, I want you to think about them. And as you think about them, I want you to think about what was one thing that you may have said, even to the point of, when I get grown, I am not going to be in church every day of the week. I am not going to be, I'm not going to do this to my children what they did to me. I'm not going to, think about one thing. Just think about one thing that you may have said or thought about your own mother and father or aunt or uncle or whoever raised you. Think about it to right now, today. Because I only have one phone, because Satan thought he was really going to sabotage me today. But it didn't happen, because I'm using what I have. Now, as you think about that thing, think about where that one thing is at and what place that one thing has in your life today. You see, you made a vow. You made a vow, and Satan heard you make that vow. And until you die, he's going to use that vow against you. What's the one thing you said? Or I said a bad quality, and the only reason I said a bad quality is because I want to show you something with these demons and familiar spirits that maybe you could break in the name of Jesus. Whatever that one thing is, if you can, get a pencil and write it down. Because it's very important that you look at that one thing. Very important. You see, brothers and sisters, God knows all about you. He knows every dream you have, every aspiration you have, because he's the one that placed it in your heart. He did it. And as I said yesterday, when we cast those demons out, I said in 2 Samuel 22:26, I said, binding rope from hell. But in the Bible, the hell that is spoken there is Sheol, hell. S-H-E-O-L, hell, means hell on earth. Binding ropes from hell on earth entangled me, while lethal snares hindered me. That's the scripture. One of them I gave you yesterday. Then I gave you Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 25. Some of you may need to go. I did put that Facebook back up only because I got texts and stuff, and people asked me to put it back up. I don't like it. And I don't want to suffer the consequences that Moses did when he obeyed the people and not God. But God didn't tell me to take it down. My common sense did. Psalm 149, verse 8 says, binding their kings with officials with iron bands. Brothers and sisters, you have some spirits in you. And your daddy got some spirits in him. And your mama got some spirits in her that you inherited from your mama and daddy, and they inherited from their mama and daddy. And I have a story, but I need to explain it to the people first before I can give it to the public. But remember yesterday, talking about King Nebuchadnezzar? It was the spirits in the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, and the sheriffs. These were the people that came against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These are the people that had conspired. These were their peers. These were the people on the same that they were that formed this conspiracy. They even set up the snare. And they even schemed and conspired the trap. And they even orchestrated the band, verse 6 and 7, to come together and play the music for the people to fall down and worship this idol. All, and verse 8 say, remember I mentioned yesterday the Chaldeans? It say the Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. It was a snare. It was a plan that was concocted by them. You have some spirits in you that are doing the same thing. And brothers and sisters, yesterday, last night, those same spirits, as I was praying, in my intercessory prayer, those spirits tried to, anyway, God let them manifest so I could see them. I saw chaos. I saw confusion. I saw conspiracy. And it was all for one purpose, all to stop and destroy in an attempt for the plan and purpose of God not to be fulfilled, so that the plan and purpose of God could be destroyed. So the devil has a burning, the real fire of God. The devil got snares and traps hell on earth already set in place. But a lot of that stuff has to be fueled, brothers and sisters, chapter 13. It has to be fueled to rage and anger and fury. And it is. It is. The Bible talks about an angry man and an angry woman. And the Bible says, have no dealings with them. It says, have no dealings with them. It says they don't mean you any good. And the reason they don't mean you any good is because they don't mean themselves any good. They can't. They are out of control. And you don't know, when you don't know what's controlling a man or a woman, it makes them dangerous. And then when you have an out of control, dangerous man or woman controlling a man or a woman with any kind of leadership responsibility, then the whole whatever they're leading is in danger. Because you don't never know what they're going to do. You don't never know what they're going to say. It's like if you have a man or a woman in control and the person has a lying spirit, how do you know when a liar is ever telling the truth? You don't. So that means if you know the person is a liar, that means you know you will never trust and you cannot trust anything that they ever say because you don't know what part is the truth and what part is a lie. When you have an angry person, when you have a person full of rage, you know that included within that person is something that is very volatile. You don't ever know when they're going to sabotage your work. You don't even know what intensity they at from time to time. You don't know when they're going to be calm and then they're going to turn violent. You don't never know when they're appearing to be passive, but there's an intensity in them to cause a fervor. How can you, brothers and sisters, when Jesus says, my peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you, when every time Jesus appears on the scene, the first thing he says is peace. Obviously, when a person does not have that peace, cannot operate in that peace, how can you know when that fury or that rage or that anger is going to overtake that person? And you know what? It's self-sabotaging. Attached to that is a self-sabotaging spirit. And brothers and sisters, you cannot ever, you can believe this or you cannot believe it, but if you research it out, you're not going to find, those are the people that you go to the doctor, they say, oh, that person is bipolar. You go to the doctor, they say, that person is manic depressive. Just because you want them to be all right don't mean they're all right. It means that you are operating under a delusion. You're operating under a lie. And there's something volatile inside of that person that will not only self-sabotage themselves, but they will cause everything around them and around you to be self-sabotaged or rooted in God. Like Paul, like Peter, read the Bible. They were continually hindered with God. But one thing they weren't confused. Because they had been with Jesus long enough to know one thing. A double-minded man is unstable. Double-minded means having two minds. One mind going to the left, one mind going to the right, it brings you into nothing but confusion. And confusion brings you into nothing but failure. And failure is hell on earth. And that's what Satan's agenda is, for the men and the women of God to keep you in such a state of confusion, to keep you in such a state of chaos, ungodly. Well, why do you say that, Erica? Very simple. Very simple. In Genesis chapter 1, God created form out of chaos. God took chaos and created matter. God took disorder and brought order. It is dangerous working with these type of people. King Nebuchadnezzar, you know what happened to him. But this is the same Nebuchadnezzar that came against the men and women of God. This is the same Nebuchadnezzar that could see vision. This is the same Nebuchadnezzar that fell prey to the snares and the tricks of the devil. And he was a king. And this is the same Nebuchadnezzar that was of two minds. And it's the same Nebuchadnezzar that knew that his God was different from the gods of those Jews, that he was worshiping idols. But he wanted to be worshiped. And brothers and sisters, there are a lot of people that want to be worshipped. There are a lot of people, and I really find this to be true, brothers and sisters. People that have altars and all these different personalities. People who have very, very, very low self-esteem to no self-esteem. Keep telling themselves, I got to be somebody. They never done nothing. But these are the people God uses. But the devil uses them too. And there's a battle going on to see who's going to win. The way you win this battle is not the way you win the battles in the world. The way you win these battles is you have to surrender to Jesus. You have to make yourself of no esteem. But you can't be running around here wanting to be worshipped. Running around here wanting to be somebody's idol. You have to run around here and have a will and a heart and a mind and a soul submitted to God, that he would be exalted. You got a devil out here that wants to be worshipped at all costs. And when you have these people with that devil in them that have familiar spirits at their beck and call, any threat you appear to them, those familiar spirits' target will be you. How do you become their target? Just don't do what they want you to do. Just don't comply with their rules for you. And guess what? They got hell on earth waiting for you. All burning fiery furnace waiting for you. And the devil's standing back mocking and saying this. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Brothers and sisters, those Hebrew boys said, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. We're answering you with great consideration. We're answering you with the truth. And this is the truth. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Brothers and sisters, you can't help nobody else until you allow God to help you. It's another form of escapism. You think you can escape your problem by helping somebody else's problem. You don't have to look at your problem. Something in this picture is not right. And what's not right has got to be you or me. This is why I tell you every day. I mean, not every day, but people around here know. I'm working to go to heaven. I come on this blog talk to share with you the issues of life as I'm applying the Bible. But you got to be careful of the person who's trying to build a kingdom and make you a slave in it, make you a servant in it. The Bible tells you to examine the fruit, to examine the fruit. And brothers and sisters, kindness is not weakness. I cannot but I do so much deliverance. I hear and see so many demons speaking through the mouths of men and women. And periodically I will hear something and it will stick with me the rest of my life. In a deliverance, I heard a woman say she broke a man down. I got it on tape. And from the moment I heard that, I had to take a real hard look at the person that said it. Because that let me know there's a demon in them whose sole purpose is to bring everybody under subjection to this person that comes around them. And they don't care what they have to do because their purpose is to break you down. So I said to myself, person has a spirit. And the way the person used the verbiage was, I got him. I broke him down. And I said to myself again, God is in the making business. But there's something in this person that wants to break you down. I may have mentioned it to my team at the time, but I never forgot it. Because if it was something in that person that has a spirit to break people down, that has a spirit that wants to break me down. And I thought to myself, wow, what kind of spirit is this? It's the kind, brothers and sisters, that will deliver you to the burning fiery furnace. It's the kind that will deliver you to hell on earth, because they have something in them that wants to rule and reign over you and anybody else that they come into contact that has something they want. And they don't believe in getting it the honest way, through work and hard work. See, serving God requires work and hard work too. It requires laboring in prayer. It requires sacrifice. It requires courage. It requires honesty with God. And it requires elevation from God. But when I heard a demon say, I broke this person down, I said, oh my God, I better be concerned about this. Because there's a demon, brothers and sisters, that has to break you down in order to control you. That's the only reason something like that would come out. The Bible says, then there was King Nebuchadnezzar. And the only reason King Nebuchadnezzar wanted everybody to fall down and worship the golden idol is because he was the king and he wanted to control all his subjects. But you see, he was an angry king, full of fury, full of rage. He was a king with two minds, and he didn't control either one. As you can see, he was controlled by the outside. He was controlled by the outside power of the people under his control, which means that they were still controlled by the spirits that were operating through him. He was controlled by witchcraft, and he wanted the men and of God to come under that control. And he was willing to kill them, get rid of them, except that they come under that control. And then I told you, I'm talking to you this morning, that he commanded the strongest, in verse 20, the most mighty, 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 the most mighty men in his army to bind them up. Brothers and sisters, you got men and women who have one purpose on this earth, and that's to be used by the devil to bind you up so that the demons could have a stronghold in your life, to bind you up, to make you subject to the devil, subject to the demons, subject to the will of Satan. That's why Luke chapter 10, verse 20 says, marvel not that the spirits are subject unto you. You are not supposed to become subject to the devil. You are not supposed to become subject to Satan. You are not supposed to become subject to demons. You are not supposed to become subject to evil human spirits. You are not supposed to become subject to the control and the whim of the spirits operating through people that are opposing God. Their job is to bind you up. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatsoever is bound in heaven is bound on earth. Satan counterfeits everything of God. And he got and he got women whose sole purpose on this earth is to bind you up and cast you into the burning, fiery furnace of affliction and hell on earth. And one of the big ones is poverty. There are people who can never see themselves coming out of poverty. There are people who can never see themselves as accomplishing anything. And these are the ones that want to bind you up right with themselves. And I can go further than that. You to be in misery because they bound up by misery curses. They want you to be in lack because they're bound up by spirits of lack. They want you to be deprived because they're bound up in spirits of deprivation. And when these people come around you, they bind you from the outside to the inside. Verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their outer clothing. This is why when Lazarus came out of that grave in his grave clothes, Jesus talked to the brethren. Jesus talked to the human beings. Jesus loosed them. Jesus loosed life back into them. But Jesus needed a man and a woman to loose him from them outer garments. Loose him from them grave clothes. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats and their other garments. And they were cast into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace hell on earth. Verse 22, the furnace was exceedingly hot. Pressure. The pressure brought about by these people just being around you. Brothers and sisters, but brothers and sisters, the Bible says themselves, if you are one of those ones under that kind of satanic, demonic assignment, yes, you catch in hell, and yes, you're going to be burned up. Because your assignment against a man or a woman of God, yes, you bind them up. And they might even, brothers and sisters, they may even be thrown into the fiery furnace. But let me tell you something. The fourth man is going in with them. The fourth man is going to be in there with them. And the fourth man is the Son of God. And brothers and sisters, he will not allow anything to happen to you. And God going to let somebody see it. Somebody's going to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Why? Because Jesus said, out of the mouths of one or two witnesses, let everything be established. Brothers and sisters, you need to examine yourself. You need to really, really, really examine yourself. And you need to stop. Remember I said write down what you may have said, I don't want to do, or I don't want to be like? I want you to look at that, whatever it is you wrote, because that's the very thing you are. You see, the devil heard that vow. And he knew. And he was going to hold it against you. And he's still holding it against you. And the demons attached to it are holding it against you. You got to renounce those vows and come out of that agreement that you made when you were ignorant of the things of God. You see, brothers and sisters, verse 25, I see four men loose, not bound, because Jesus is not going to allow his son or his daughter to be bound up for very long. He'll be with them when they bound. He was with them when they were in the binding, being bound. But he unlooses his people. And he only allows them to be bound to learn how to overcome it for themselves through his leading, through his guidance, for you to look to him. Look to him for his very presence with you. Look for him for his very leading with you. Look for him. Look to him. And while he's in there with you, he's allowing your oppressor to be right there to look and see you in that burning fiery furnace and to see him with you and to know he better back up because you're on your way out. And when you come out, they're not going to see him. They're not going to see Jesus because he's in you. They're not going to see Jesus because he's on you. They're not going to see Jesus because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And they're not going to see Jesus because their understanding hasn't been opened. Because your understanding and the eyes of your understanding is opened by Jesus. Jesus allowed the king to see himself in that burning, fiery furnace. And the king, whatever that king is going to acknowledge that God is with you, that you serve the Most High God. The king said he's servant. But it ain't going to be because, king, it ain't going to be because you're a great one. It ain't going to be because you exalted yourself and became somebody's idol. It's going to be because you have become a servant and you are recognized by God as his servant. King said, you servant of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Come forth and come out. Ain't nobody gonna carry you out. You're gonna walk out with your back erect. The Bible says, then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. They came out of the middle of the fire. And all the king's counselors, all the king's cohorts, all the king's advisors, all the conspirators saw him. And they saw that their bodies were loosed from the binding and the bondage. But guess what? It wasn't fire that burnt those. It wasn't no fire. The same way Jesus loosed Lazarus, it's the same way Jesus loosed them men from that bondage in that flames and wasn't with the fire of the enemy, brothers and sisters. Because the fire of the enemy had no power against them. It says, not a hair of their head was singed, and the smell, the stink, the stench of that furnace was not on them. You see, there are some things you got to do yourself. And then that king began to bless God. He began to bless Nebuchadnezzar. Blessed Almighty God. And the Bible says, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The king said, blessed be God who sent his angel and delivered his service that trusted in him. And guess what? Changed the king's word. And yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. If you don't, as an after your own will, get rid of them familiar spirits, you're going to forever be in hell on earth, entangled, snared, and hindered. That's the bottom line. If you don't deal with it, they're going to forever bind you with ropes and tie you up. And you know what? On my Ted Line website, I have a dog on there. His name is Hound. He said, I'm not your best friend. My job is to hinder you and keep you from going to heaven and keep you experiencing hell on earth. You have a will, and I'm talking to you that were offered up to idols. It ain't over. It is not over. Those demons gonna just leave you. No sirree. You got work to do. That dedication has to be broken before those demons will allow you to come out of hell on earth. I'm telling you this morning, you can accept it or you can reject it. Understand something. It's not going to affect me one bit. I'm just a messenger. But I'm telling you what your problem is. Is somebody on this line? This is your son's problem. There's somebody else on this line. This is your daughter's problem. If you're a Catholic or were a Catholic, this is your problem for real. If your grandma, your mama, your great-grandma, your granddaddy, whoever, dabbled in anything of the occult, this is your problem. And some of you don't know what they did. If they ever told you you were born with a call over your face and you got a third eye, this your problem. And guess what? Every tribe, every nation that exists has the same problem. Now, you can believe it, receive it, or you can reject it. But I have shared with you the truth this morning. And I can't sign off this morning with any music. If you perceive, I'm talking about you. I don't want to do deliverance for everybody. But if you perceive this is your problem, your family problem, and long-term problem, I would like to do deliverance with you sometime today. I'll send you a text. But you need to ponder this in your heart. Think about this. Because let me tell you this. The devil does fight back. Don't you make any mistake about it. And if he got a claim on you, an imprint on you of any kind, he's fighting you back right now. You can win if you're for real. You can win with the truth, but a lie ain't going to do nothing but tangle you more up in hell on earth. So Sister Erica, brothers and sisters, thank you for being on this headline this morning. I really hope I said something that reached some area that touched off the spark of something so you could see what your real problem is. In Jesus' name, I will see you tomorrow on the TED line. The Lord say the same. Goodbye.